Amen. I want to mind the Lord tonight. The book of 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18. And if you will, just bear with me for a few minutes as I try to get around to the thought and then give you what the Lord's laid on my heart. And I'll trust the Lord that it'll be exactly what it needs to be. I try not to do a whole lot of foolishness and cutting up. I believe we need revival. I believe we need a move of God. But I believe there's the moving we need to do on our part at the same time. Amen. Very familiar text, 1 Kings chapter number 18, in verse number 41. The Bible said, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up himself. Elijah went up on top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing." I believe he was a Baptist. "And he said, Go again seven times." Father, I pray you'd touch us tonight, and I pray you'd help us. And Lord, I know this church has heard great preaching. They've got a great man of God, greater men than I have stood in this pulpit and have been here. But Father, this is our privilege to stand tonight and try to take the Word of God and, Lord, try to bring it forth to Your precious sheep. I pray You give us that unction and that utterance that no man can preach without. Give us holy boldness and give us the power that comes from God on high. Father, I pray that You would illuminate our mind and our heart to the Scripture, to the things we've studied. I pray, Lord, to this congregation that awaits the words, that, Lord, it wouldn't be the words of a man or a sermon on a page, but it'd be the Word of God preserved for our hearts. Father, I pray that, Lord, You'd get glory unto Your high and holy name. For what we ask in the bloodstained name of our blessed Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, we humbly pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I don't want to take a whole lot of time. I know what time it is, and I don't know what time y'all want to get out, and apparently it's almost 9 o'clock by the clock on the wall. Now I want to say this, that we live in a society that has learned to settle with everything. I don't like knockoffs. I don't like fakes. I've always been in a place in life that, Brother John, I can't afford what I want, so I buy what I can afford. And so instead of getting what I want, I'll settle for what'll work for the job. And I think the church has done the same thing in this day and age. We know what works, but we don't want to pay the price to get what we really need that'll really get the job done. I've heard this said since I was a child, Brother John. If we could just leave the night and say, "It's been good to be in the house of the Lord." Well, that's a good way to leave church. But I'm tired of leaving church and saying, "It was just good to be in the house of the Lord." If you're saved by God's grace, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. If you're lost and in church, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. But it's in my heart, Brother Alex, to stop leaving church and saying, "It's been good," and start leaving church and saying, "God met with us today at church." I'm tired of watching sinners come in. How long's it been since they sat with white knuckles, grabbed up on the back of church pews under Holy Ghost conviction? How long's it been since saints crawled around altars and wept before God and desiring to see God do something in their lives? I don't know about you, but I need God to do something. My family needs God to do something. Our churches need God to do something. And it's not left up to God to do it. He's waiting on you and I. If we'll get where we ought to be with God, God will get where He's supposed to be with us. You say, "I don't believe that." He said, "If My people, which are called by My name," and I believe with all of my heart, God has laid this on my heart tonight. Of course, we know in the life of Elijah, and he comes out of nowhere just two chapters before, drops out of the sky, and Brother Edward, he just begins to preach. and he preaches a hard message. And he comes in and he says, God is pulling back the blessings of heaven. God is going to send the drought unto this city, and you're going to pay the price for sin. And God says, now that you've done what I said to do, run and hide somewhere in the status, and live by the brook Cherith. I want to say this, that it was a prophetical word that God told him to go down to that place and preach the word. And I want to say this, that if you do ever preach the word, sooner or later along the lines, you're going to upset somebody. It'll ruffle a few feathers. Somebody's going to get aggravated with you. They might even leave church over it. Amen. Then the Bible said this, that he told him, he said, go down, not just anywhere, but he said, go down by the brook Cherith. If God ever tells you to run and hide, he'll give you somewhere to run and hide to. You say, well, God's never told me to hide. There's a whole lot of times, Brother John, I've learned that in the places of life when I wanted to be out in the main light, in the main screen, I wanted to be the main preacher. God wanted me to sit in the status and hide for a little while. And I said, preacher, I don't want to hide. I want to be seen. I want to be used. You'd be surprised what God does for those that will crawl up by a brook somewhere and let God feed their soul. I've watched God do it for others, but I've watched Him do it in my life, Brother John. I've come to the place that some folk think if her name's not on a flyer, they're not important. But yet my little preacher, he preached 2 revivals every year. He's the best preacher I'd ever heard. Nobody wanted to hear him but us. He'd go preach and hit hack and holler and preach all over the pulpit. And Sister Faith, he was a man of God. We loved him. He's God's man. But he'd stand in that congregation, 50 or 60 people every Sunday, never complained, never grumbled, never looked for a better church, a bigger church, a better congregation. He stayed faithful where he was, and he just fed the people of God that he put there. And a lot of folks said, that's not a successful ministry. He's not preaching 52 weeks a year. I'll be honest, it'd be real hard to be the pastor of a church and be gone 52 weeks a year. Well, amen anyhow. I don't know how men pastor churches and they're always gone. And I don't know how they pastor churches and they always let other people preach. You want the mic now? I said... He said, I want you to preach. I said, don't you ever preach. Or don't you ever pastor. He said, I do plenty of pastoring. Pastoring's more than preaching. I found that out the hard way, Brother Alex. A lot of people like the preaching. They hate the pastoring. They love the excitement and the glory, and they love church. But pastoring's more than just going to church. Pastoring's when you don't see him up in the wee hours of the night praying one by one, going through the pews and praying for your youngins and your grand youngins and your sickness. And you don't see him and his wife up at night trying to find a way to be there for you and your family. And they can't separate themselves to the whole church. But yet they just stay faithful and keep doing what God's called them to do. Is everybody all right? Of course, he goes down there by the brook, and the place God sends him to, God provides everything he needs. I know this is simple preaching, it's what God laid on my heart. I believe if God sends you somewhere, he'll give you everything you need while you are there. I've seen God do things that I thought was impossible in dry and hard places. But when the brook dried up, God told Elijah, get thee up hence, arise, and go to Zarephath. He said, I've commanded a widow to feed thee there. Out of thought, as Mae Jackson said, praise God, we're going to the next town, going to the next city. We're going to move on up a little bit. Going to quit eating bird food and quit eating flesh and bread and drinking by the brook and start eating honey buns and cornbread and ham hocks. I'm getting hungry now. You don't know what a ham hock and greens is, you ain't never eat. Leave Burger King, you'll know why I'm 300 pounds. Said I wasn't going to cut up, but I thought about him, Brother Alex. He got down there, and he got down there in that little widow woman's place, and God has sent me here. Go on there and get me something to drink. Why are you at it? I'd like to have a cake. She said, we ain't got it. She said, our handmade hat not a thing. She said, all we got left, you know the story. I know we act like we don't know it. The handmade hat not a thing. She said, all we've got is enough for a last meal. I've got just enough to die on, and then it's over with. And that's the way most Christians are living at church. They think they've got just enough to die on and not enough to live with. But I've found out what you think you'll die on, God will supply every need you have. I've found out that what you thought was enough to be the last meal will be the last meal for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Woo! You said, preacher, well, it's just a handful. It was just a handful until it got in God's hand. It may be little in your hand, but if you ever get it out of your hand and get it in God's hand, God will turn it around. Hallelujah. I know that's real simple. I ain't even given the title yet. I don't want to tell it. Thought about that little woman. She said, we're gonna make a cake. We're going to die. And my daddy said, I don't know if I'd want to eat the cake if she didn't think that she was going to live after she ate it. I thought that way when my mother-in-law's cooked for me, that we're going to eat a cake and we're going to die. She'll watch live and then I'll get in trouble. She said, I have nothing but just a little oil, a little handful, and we're going to die. And of course, a lot of preachers take that text and say, Edward, this is elementary. I've heard them take that text and turn around and talk about how that it lasted her the rest of her life. But that ain't Bible. It didn't last her the rest of her life. It lasted her the rest of the famine. And I say this, if God give us everything we needed all the time and we didn't learn to get up and go out and serve God again, we'd get content with living with handfuls. He said, but preacher, I can get by with a handful. You can get by with going to church once a week. You can get by with reading one verse a day. You can get by with coming one Sunday a month. But you're not going to grow. You're not going to flourish. The church is not going to grow. And I'll say this, if you'll get in the Word of God and read a little more and study a little more and go to church a little more, you'll find out a little more goes a lot longer way than just a little bit. I'm going to say this, the Bible said he went down there and did what God said. God said, all right, I'm done with you here. Now I want you to turn and go somewhere else. You ever feel like God just, I don't know, I don't understand the way the Lord does things sometimes. Lord, man, you're working miracles here. I'd like to stay right here for a while. I mean, God's took a brook and let it feed me. And then it had to dry up. And some people would live in a dry place and hope to God that the ravens will keep bringing bread and flesh in the evening, and hope to God one day the brook will start running again. The brook's not going to run again, Elijah, as long as you sit where you ain't supposed to be. And if you're out of the will of God, they're not the only ones just going to have to pay the price. I don't think Elijah realized that when he prophesied that there was going to be no rain, that it just wasn't going to affect them. It's going to affect him too. Sometimes as preachers we say, Brother Alex, hard times is coming, church, get ready. But we expect God to do it to them. But when it comes to the preacher's house, it's another story. My God, you're supposed to bless us. You're supposed to take care of us. But it's in those times, Brother John, where God moves us around here and there, and we find out He's a miracle working God. And then God will do a miracle. And I say, Lord, I will stay here a while. I watched God in that little storefront and God did things, and I didn't want to be there when I got there. And Brother James, the more I was there, the more I hated it. And then God started working miracles and I found out I didn't need a crowd to enjoy church. I didn't need big things to enjoy church. I just enjoyed God and the miracles God was doing where we were, and I wanted to stay right there. And then God said, now I want you to go down the road about 2 miles. Lord, we don't want to go down there. You're doing big things right here. Well, I'm not going to worry about all the points. That'd be all right with y'all. Bible said he goes to town, sends word to Ahab, and why he's coming to town runs in Obadiah. And Obadiah said, what are you doing here? That's how I get greeted at most churches I go to, Miss Faith. What are you doing here? I'm convinced that I'm changing my name to Ann Moore because these preachers scheduled me for a meeting and Mark Stroud will get his name on there. Joe Arthur will get his name on there. Bud Stittman will get his name on there. I mean, everybody gets their name. And then Ann Moore. So I'm changing my name to Ann Moore. I was going to go with Call From The Floor. Man, I didn't think that'd work, so I'm going to go with Ann Moore. I walked into churches and Brother Alex said, what are you doing here? God sent me here. Some of y'all did the same thing tonight. You must not have been here Sunday. Said, what are you doing here? I'm not the man of God comes to tell me, so what are you doing here? And then says, God sent you here, judges. He said, I've got word from you. He said, send down there to Ahab and tell him. And I'm going to have a meeting with him and his prophets up on the mountain. We all know the story. He said, we're going to go up on the mountain. We're going to see who God is. Matter of fact, he said, things are so bad. I and I alone am left. Now, isn't it amazing? You get to serving God a little while and all of a sudden the devil will make you feel like you all by yourself. Matter of fact, he said, it's just me. He said, but I'm willing to go up on the mountain and I'm willing to stand before 450 prophets of Baal and I'm willing to pray and believe God and I'll take my chances 450 to 1 and let God be God. Now I'm going somewhere with this. And I ain't giving you the title and I get where I'm going. You get on down just a little bit. We know the story. Those prophets get up on the mountain and they cut themselves and they dance. And I've heard it all my life. I've heard the preachers preach it, all the things that they did in sacrilege and religion to try to get their gods to move. But I'm convinced that the church today is doing the same thing the prophets of Baal did. We can't have preaching, stay with me, until we've had at least two good congregationals and at least one special and maybe an offering. We're not gonna start off with preaching. We gotta do things the way we've always done it. The other Sunday I walked in at 10:30. We started at 10:30. I went straight to the pulpit, said open your Bibles, and when we left church they still didn't know what happened. Took everything out of the program, out of the plan. We didn't sing. We didn't take up the offering. We didn't have special singing. We just went right into the message and went straight to invitation. And that messed everybody up. And I will say this, if you're trying to do things to have church, you're not going to have church. They did everything they could, Brother Edward, to have this. Is simple, elementary, I know that. The Bible said he told those prophets in chapter number 17, the Bible said he told them, in verse 30, he said, Elijah said, and all the people come near, and all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now I will say this, if we want to see God do something, we're going to have to start back around the altar. And I thank God for good preaching. But we got churches with good preachers, but we've got pews with little praying. We've got men that can alliterate and preach, and your man of God, your pastor can preach. But if the people that's sitting in church are not on the altars praying, then he's just going to preach and we're going to leave and say, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. But I'm tired of leaving saying it's been good. I want to leave church when the ladies leave church and the mascara is run down the sides of their face. And the men have been dragging their knees around in the carpet weeping. And there's tear stains across the front of the church. And we leave church and we look like we've been on a battlefield. Been heavy on my heart, Brother Edward. I ain't preached this at my church. I don't even know if it works. The Bible said, in the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench round about the altar, as would contain 2 measures of seed. He put the wood in order, cut the bullock in. Now, he still did things the right way. He still had sacrifice. He still had an altar. He still had the wood. And then he said, fill four barrels of water. We know the story. Somebody please tell me, in a drought and a famine when it's not been raining, somebody tell me where you get four barrels of water. It may have been, my opinion, and I could be wrong, Brother Edward, in my opinion, it was probably not him that had stored up the water. It was probably those prophets of Baal or those of the empire had been storing up water and they was holding things back for themselves. He said, I need you to fill four barrels of water. Y'all ain't getting this. And then I need you to pour it on the altar. And then I need you to do it the second time. And then I need you to do it the third time. And every preacher I've ever heard is preached on how that God can take the fire of God and consume an old wet sacrifice. But if it's worth doing one time, it's worth doing it again. In our text, here's what he said. He said to the servant, I'm going to give you the message and I'm going to give the invitation. We're going to be done. He said, I want you to go up on the mountain, go out there and look towards the sea and tell me what you see. And he said, there is nothing. He said, go again, Brother John, seven times. And I want to preach on this thought. Keep going back, even when there's nothing. You know how many church services that I've been to? And Brother Dave, it was nothing. It was Bible preaching. They was good singing. Revival meetings are the same way across the planet. And the service is good, Miss Faith. And we've got everything in order. But nothing's happening. He said, if we're going to see God do something, and the Bible said, if we're going to let God be God, He said, we're going to have to stoke the altar. God, I'm telling you, God laid this on my heart on Tuesday. We are not going to see revival. Sinners are not going to get saved. And prayers are going to keep going unanswered until God's people get back down on the altar again and start soaking the altars again. And if it's worth doing one time, it's worth doing a second time, it's worth doing a third time. Keep going back until you see God do something. Try to mind the Lord, Brother Edward. I thought about some folk that go to church and they don't get nothing out of it, so they give up on it. Say, church didn't work for me. Church ain't supposed to work for you. Church is for Him. We come to worship the Lord. But preacher, it just didn't work out for me. Well, what's supposed to work for you? It's supposed to work for His glory. We come and trying to get something out of it instead of trying to give Him something. But Brother John, the services that I know the difference. And when I'm not praying, and I'm not spent the time that I ought to spend, and I've come in discouraged because God didn't do it last Sunday, and revival didn't break out the Sunday before that, and nobody's really been moving to the altar, and the altar's really nothing's happening, nobody's getting saved, so I'll just do things the way they're doing it. I'll just come in, I'll walk by the altar, I'll go up, I'll preach, we'll go home, and I'll settle with a good service. My old pastor said, if you can't spend at least 4 hours a day to pray before you preach, you don't need to be preaching. That's tough. Most of them I know don't even pray, much less pray 4 hours. We're living in a day, and I know churches are changing and people's changing. God's not changing. His church has not changed. Our idea of church has changed. You ain't got to have on a three-piece suit and a tie to have church. I've had church in my overalls. We have old-fashioned Sunday. I wear overalls and boots and we have church. I don't just have church at church. I have church at home. My granny had church in the kitchen. I remember when granny had been there praying. Hot tears dropping down in the biscuit pan. Fire going to fly. And a little lady's hand was sitting in the kitchen. I think, what in the world is wrong with Granny? She just had church in yonder in the kitchen. I'm trying to get to what God's laid on my heart. If it's worth doing once, it's worth doing it again. I don't know how many services we left church and it's dead. And the Lord's convicted me this week on Tuesday, Brother Dave, you might ought to just go back Monday night and try it again. I'm not calling the church to revival. I'm trying to tell you some of us just give up. I promise you this, when it comes to applying for disability, and I'm going to need a real big amen, as Brother Mike would say, they'll go back over and over and over and over, stand before every judge they got to stand before so they can get approved for a little monthly check. If you're going to stand before a judge over and over and over to get a monthly check, why in God's name is the church not coming to church at least 3 services a week and standing before the judge over and over and over asking God to do something for us? Stuff's a whole lot better in my head than it is when it comes out. I'm not against disability. Brother John's got plenty of disabilities. I'm not against it. But I'm tired of the same old, same old. Man, we church is like getting anymore. It's like getting up and putting on your socks and shoes. It's mechanics. We don't even think about it. We don't even have to, and I'm not, maybe y'all don't have this problem, but they don't have to fight over pews anymore. Is everybody okay? You go in churches, and folks don't have to fight over pews because they know there ain't no visitors coming. Everybody's car's in the same parking spot every week because there ain't nobody new coming. Oh boy. So John is heavy on my heart. I'm tired of coming and leaving. I'm tired of telling stories that my daddy told and my granddaddy told and I've heard everybody else tell. I'm ready for mine to see God do it in their generation. Hey, I'm glad God sent revival in Burlington and Greenville and every other place He sent it to. But I'm not satisfied with that. If that offends you, you'll have to be offended. I'm not satisfied with it just being up in the mountains part of the area. God loves flatlands just like He loves the mountains. Now say this, somebody said, well, it just happens. No, it don't just happen. I believe with all of my heart it happens when God's people get hungry, God's people get thirsty, and they start laying around the altars and weeping and begging God to send revival. As a teenager, I wasn't right with God. Daddy had died. I was bitter at God. I hated God. I didn't want to do nothing for God. They wanted me to go to a revival meeting. It was in his 3rd week. Well, John, I said, I ain't going down there. Nothing. That ain't real. No 3-week revival. Now, I ain't going to no 3-week revival. Man, God ain't in no 3-week revival. Well, they went 4 weeks, so I had to go see what was going on the 4th week. And I got with all the teenagers that I was accustomed and running and lying with. And I got in the back car with a little girl I thought was pretty. And I thought maybe revival we was going somewhere else. But no, they really pulled up in a church. And they really went inside the church. And Brother John, I was a preacher's kid. That don't mean nothing. Miss Kristen, they said, come back to the prayer room with us. And I'll never forget in the mountains of Asheville, North Carolina, teenagers, I sat there in the middle of them, and I was raised in this, saying, do it for us, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Do it again. And Brother John, I was thinking, do what again? Because I hadn't seen it in the last 4 weeks. There wasn't nothing for God to do again for me. Half folk don't believe God can do nothing anymore anyhow. We believe He can save us from hell and pay the bills, and that's about it. My sister-in-law, we just found out the other week, she had a little baby. A couple of days later, the pain wouldn't go away. Went to a neurologist, CAT scans and MRIs and all these scans to find out there's a tumor. And they'd never seen anything like it. It's in her spine. They went in to take it out. And they'd never seen a cancer like this. They've called Johns Hopkins. They've called Maryland. They've called Florida. Now they're calling Texas. They're calling every state. They've never seen a tumor like this tumor. And here's what they do. They keep going back to the doctor hoping to get good news. Every time they go to the doctor, lately they've got no news. My brother said, I don't know what to do. I said, just keep going back until you hear something. Just keep going back. But what if I go back and I get bad news? I promise you, if there's bad news, there still can be good news. Just keep going back. Keep going back. God didn't put them there for no reason. Brother John, they told her the other day, he said, now we don't know how advanced it is, but there's a problem with your cancer. In a lady and in your age, it should have started in your chest or in your brain. We don't understand how it started in your spine and it was contained to one area. We don't understand how it's there. They got another spot they're looking at. Don't know why it's there. I don't know why it's there. But every day I get up, Brother John, I get on my knees and I just keep going back. We ain't had good news. We ain't had bad news. Ain't had no news. I just keep praying. God, I've seen you do it for others. And if you'll do it for them, would you do it for our family? Pour it on that altar. Here's what he said. He said, "Keep, go up there and tell me what you see." He come running back and said, "There is nothing."
Well,
keep going back.
Yeah.
He said, "Don't quit.
Yeah, right.
Keep going.
Yeah.
When you see something, come let me know." We all right? Brother James, I love my dad, my granddad, and he's a good man. But at one point in time, he was a drunk. Ramble rouser, ran with women, slept around every night of his life, race car driver, lived a wicked life. My little granny got saved, got born again, a little small church in South Carolina. And brother, she went to the church and she told the preacher, she said, "What do I do about my husband?" He said, "You just keep praying for him, and you just keep coming and praying for him, and you let God handle him." Well, about 3 years passed. And her and the girls and my uncle get up every morning and go to church. And every Sunday night they'd go to church and every Wednesday night. Got to the place, Brother Alex, my granddaddy said, "I'd go in there at night and lay my hands on the baby's bellies to see if they're still breathing." He said, "I'd go in there to see if they're still in the room. I thought the rapture took place. Never been to church." And on a Sunday morning, he come walking through the back door, walked past everybody, walked down to the altar, told the preacher, said, "I need to get saved." Preacher said, "Why, you ain't never even heard preaching." He said, "I don't need to. That woman's been telling me God loves me, and she's been praying, and I've heard her every night for 3 years, and I'm tired of living this way. I got to get saved." How many do you know that a little granny got up at an altar somewhere? Mama crawled up at the kitchen table. I remember my mama sitting at the kitchen table praying, "God, save my youngins. Save my youngins. Save my youngins." I'm going to keep praying until God does save them. Preacher, I've been praying my loved ones get in church. Keep praying until they come to church. I got a girl comes every Sunday, lays on the altar, and she prays for her husband to get in church. I ain't preaching at home, but you know what I'm going to tell her when I get home Sunday? Just keep praying. Keep going back, even if they don't go back. If nobody else believes you, just keep going back till you see God do something. It won't be long. You'll turn around and look and say, "I see something that looks like a hand. I know what it looks like. It's the hand of God." Camden ought to walk around this building tonight and just look around what God's done in just a little while, taking a little country church and build walls from one side to the other and enhance it on every side. You ought to start praising God that somebody didn't quit. You all right unless I fall? Amos 4:6 said, prepare to meet thy God. You better be ready if it happens. Brother John, 5 years. Lord, give us the building. 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 Brother Edward, I wish we had to be. Called your preacher. Come preach revival for us. I was so ashamed. I sat in that little building, Miss Faith. I was embarrassed. Nobody came. Nobody was faithful. I mean, there might have been 50 on Sunday, but I couldn't get 30 for revival. Your preacher came. I looked around and I thought, boy, I've seen what God's done in Camden. I wish I could bring these men in to preach in a big, beautiful building. I wish. I've hung up on having things. Finally, one Sunday, God got me under so much conviction. I told God, I said, we will stay in this rotted, leaking gas station. They'd been in there 10 years. I said, if we've been here 15 years now, we'll stay another 15. And 2 weeks later, God opened the door. God didn't have a problem getting me where I needed to be, in the church where it needed to be. Just trying to get me where I needed to be. And when I finally got on the altar, started pouring out, saying, Lord, if it's what you want, I'll stay here. It wasn't what he wanted. He'd been ready to move a long time ago. I just wasn't ready to move yet. I done got hung up in the dry place. Let me say this, Ruth kept going back till she found handfuls of purpose. Naomi said, who art thou, my daughter? She wasn't senile and old and trying to figure out who she was. She's trying to find out, are you Ruth the Moabitess? Or are you the Ruth, the wife of Boaz? There's been some of them, I've asked them. I've seen them come to church. I come down after, I said, what happened to you tonight? They'll say, preacher, I prayed. They come back down, I say, what happened to you tonight? They say, preacher, I got things right. And I go back down there again, what happened to you tonight? And I didn't never get up to a church, they just got born again. So that we could say we had 35 professions last month like everybody else. Brother James, I just kept getting back down there with them until finally one day they got up soaking the altar, tears running down their face, and about halfway through, what happened to you? They say, I got saved. Remember the days when we used to soak the altars for sinners? This reminds me so much of our church that I grew up in. We had four of these, we called them altar benches, mourner's benches, call them whatever you want to call them. But ours were not, they were not this fancy. They were just pine boards that came straight down to the floor. They were ugly. They were tarnished. They were tattered. They were probably 40 years old. We were remodeling the church and the men were getting together and picking paint and looking at some things and talking about new carpet. Now, I'll never forget, I'm trying to hurry, but we was trying to get the building all beautiful. One of the men came up and said, preacher, if we could just take and get some oak and some luan and just redo them altar benches, it'd really make the front of the church just pop out. It'd make it look good. And that old preacher liked to come unglued and liked to kill everybody in the church. And I was 17, 18 years old at the time. And I'll never forget, he crawled off that platform and called up every last one of them men and preached at everybody's Sunday, mad as a striped snake. And he said, you see them pews, the varnish is gone, the wood's wore down, they scratched up and they beat up. He said, and you see all them stains across them? He said, and they'll probably never get that way again in my generation or in yours. And he said, we're not going to take them out, throw them out. He said, I said too many tears for my youngins to get saved and my youngins to get right with God and for God to bless this church. And I will not throw out the remembrance of what God's done. He wasn't in the grave, good and cold, and died, and they voted him in a preacher, and he took him out. Y'all remember Elisha? Little pussy preacher boy. Preacher, I won't be here where you are. He said, I'm fixing to go somewhere that you can't go. That's fine. But I won't be there with you when you go. Look, y'all have somebody back knows how to preach next Sunday. And just let me enjoy myself for a minute. My pastor died in my arms. My pastor died in my arms of a massive heart attack. And I watched that man leave this world and go straight into the glory world. You all right? I watched him slip out. 250 people in the building laid my arms and slipped out into heaven. And Elisha come up there and he said, "You can leave if you want to, but I want your mantle. Not I want your meetings. I want your title. I want everybody to revere me as Elijah. No, I need what you got. Matter of fact, I need twice what you got. And you better believe if we're going to face the demons and devils of hell in this day, we're going to have twice of what the generation before us had. Hey, thank God for them old men of God, but it's going to take more. We're going to have to keep going back and calling on that altar till we see God move." Talking about that widow. I got all these points up here. None of them make sense. So I'm just... Son, we got nothing. We're going to die. Can you imagine every morning when he went in there, Brother John, and said, "Mama, God did it again." Anybody like Christmas, or am I the only one? Oh, yes. Somebody's coming to town, and it ain't Oprah. Yes, sir. She done been here, and she's gone, okay? Who'd ever thought Oprah Winfrey and Jonathan Stewart be in the same state at the same time? God got a real funny sense of humor. I waved to my little Ford as she drove by in her little bus. Well, I love as a kid getting up at Christmas. And we'd run in there and gifts everywhere. Oh, you go ahead and call me pagan and religious and all that, but we had fun when we was a kid. Daddy explained some things to us, but I'm telling you, we got where we enjoyed the miracle of it. We just enjoyed the gifts. We do it every year with our kids. We done wrapped them. We done put them up. They don't see them. They don't know where they are. But Christmas morning, gifts appear out of nowhere. Tree, they look up on the tree, look everywhere, and out of nowhere, they appear. Look, it's 8:25. Ain't nothing to do. Miss Faith, my daddy had brain cancer, brain tumor. I ain't playing on none of that, but he got that little old Baptist church wouldn't pay him. Deacons are starving him. He couldn't go out and preach meetings. He couldn't go out and hang vinyl siding and build and work. And we were sitting around the house one week, and I remember this, Brother James, just as good as I was a little 7-8-year-old boy. And the meat truck took a wrong turn. And the Omaha truck come up through Traveler's Rest and it went down a back road, Miss Kristen, and hit a bump. His back door opened up. And a banana box, I call it a banana box, full of ribeyes, sirloins, just fell out. Now, my daddy was a good Christian. He called the company and said, "Y'all dropped some steaks." "Not me, hon. We done eat it." Told him, "Y'all got a styrofoam box down here y'all need to come pick up." My daddy called him and said, "You've dropped a box and it's unopened." They said, "Well, we can't sell it. Just eat it." Now look, we just little kids. We thought there was something wrong with having nothing but meat on the table. All the while, it was God blessing. Didn't it? You can't make this stuff up, Brother John. I've always been smart mouth. And I've always said things before I thought. And my daddy told my mom and said, "We need $1,000 to make the car payment and the insurance." And I said, I was a little 8-9-year-old boy. And mama said, I went in there and told daddy, said, "Well, God will provide it. That's what you preach Sunday." But he was talking about a lamb. I was asking for a load. And I said, Daddy, why don't we go down to the mailbox and get what we need and get that $1,000? My daddy called my granddad and said, now, how do I explain to little young that there's not going to be $1,000 in the mailbox? He said, I don't know. Take him down there and prove to him that there's not $1,000 in the mailbox. Daddy said he hemmed around all day, didn't want to go down. And finally, we went down to the post office, walked to the box. Daddy's standing there, and, you know, see if you get anything before you go home, show it to your wife. And standing there and open them and look, open them and look. And I can remember this as clear as day. And I want you to stay with me. Brother, I thought he had a seizure. He had seizures so much and he'd go nuts. And my daddy stood in the middle of the post office and said, and I stood back as a little 9-year-old boy and I thought, he's having another seizure. We come in the house, he slapped it down on the table and said, look at there. Mama said, what is it? He said, it's $1,000 check from Louisiana. He said, there's no explanation, no nothing. It's just $1,000. And a little 9-year-old smart mouth said, see, Daddy, I told you God could do it. I wish to God some of us had the faith that we had when we were children. We'd crawl back up on these altars, stroke them again, and say, God, do it again, do it again, do it again. Tired of bad news. Bless your heart, I pulled in right after it happened. Fell over in the parking lot. Some people, just there's always something, can't never catch the break. Everybody all right? We okay? Some of us don't get back in these altars. Camden Baptist Church will not change because of Edward Dixon. Camden Baptist Church will change when God's people start pouring buckets of water back on these altars. And shedding tears. Hey, look, I got some I've been praying get saved and they ain't got in yet. I keep going back. I keep going back. But Miss Faith, I can't say but so much of this with them here. But every night of revival, every night where we are, I'm praying that this is the night they're going to get saved. This is the night he's going to get in. But this is it. And I watch it get so close. But I don't throw my Bible down, Brother Alex, and say, you know what? God should have done it tonight. I quit. No, we're going to get up again tomorrow and we're going to try it again. And I'm going to pray again. And I'm going to read my Bible again. I'm going to trust God again. I'm going to keep going in there to the barrel until there ain't nothing coming out of the barrel anymore. You keep running to God's storehouse, you'll find out it don't ever run dry. Seen an awful lot of people lately that's tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. Can't have no kids. Doctor says it's impossible. They go back and they tell them, there's no way you can ever have a kid. Then out of nowhere, they have a child. And then they have a child and there's something wrong with the child. Well, we think there's something wrong with the child. There ain't nothing wrong with the child. And then all of a sudden, what they thought was their biggest discouragement become their biggest blessing. I'm about to be done. Y'all know my preachers are old men. I don't have nobody my age. Today's the first day I've talked to anybody close to my age, and that was Jeremy, and he's weird. He walked out on me. I can talk about him. Brother Alex, they can vacuum carpet later. Don't worry about them. I'm kidding, don't y'all? I'm serious, though. I really am. Brother Alex, I don't have many guys my age. They don't hang out with me. I don't fit in with them. I ain't trying to be ugly, but I don't fit in. And I'm not old. I just don't fit in with them. Don't laugh. I'm really not that old. My hair's receding, but I'm not that old. But I call my friend every chance I get, Brother David. I say, how you doing, Brother Dr. D? He said, oh, I'm all right, Dr. J. We talked a little bit. He wants to tell me about Donna and Rebecca. Now, maybe I shouldn't say this, that this wasn't in the notes. None of this was. Brother Alex, we decided to go down there and help him out at his house and build little Rebecca a little handicapped bathroom a couple of years ago. I watched Brother David get up and illustrate how God's used little Rebecca in his life. And I've watched crowds shout and come to the altar and weep through his trial until I spent 7 days at his house. And I've watched him fight. And I've watched her fight him. And I've watched Miss Donna in tears. They couldn't handle her. Now everybody sees him pushing a little wheelchair into church and her smiling, and everybody shouts about it. But when he was in the house fighting with her, trying to feed her, trying to clothe her, trying to get her to eat and sit at the table, weeping, crying, and hollering. And he was aggravated and frustrated, and I could see it. And he'd say, Rebecca, you've got to eat. You don't want to, but you got to eat. And and this is what Brother David did. He reached down and grabbed off her plate. He said, look, baby, Daddy can do it. You can do it. And he'd feed him, and he'd feed her. And I watched that little hand. She said, Daddy. And half of us is giving up. People walking out on a marriage because they grumbling and griping and fussing. Walk out on the church because they don't like somebody or something. Somebody said or the preacher said something. And they just get up and leave the church and quit. You better start going back. Come on, Miss Faith. I'm done. But I refuse, Brother Edward. I refuse to quit going back until I start seeing God do it. God got a hold of me yesterday, Tuesday morning. 146-year-old church. Good man, good people, but it's reserved, a little dry. They see this to be fine. I told them the same thing. But I refuse to settle for that. I refuse to start leaving my church on Wednesday nights or Sundays and going home and say, well, we'll try again next service. I want sinners under conviction. I want saints sweeping in the altar. I want us to have to walk by and see the carpet stained with tears. You know what we do? You let somebody wind up with cancer. You let somebody wind up with sickness. You let somebody wind up in a mess. And then all of a sudden, we'll all run down to the altar. We'll keep going back till God does something. The impotent man kept going down there to the pool and somebody jumped in front of him. But he didn't quit going. He said, I come down here and somebody stepped for me. He just kept getting. You remember was it McCamey song back in the 90s? Help me, Christian. I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is His power. Sweet is His taste. Every temptation and trial I face, I keep coming back to the well. Can I tell a carnal illustration? There's a Flying J in Carnesville, Georgia. Pump. It's 19 or 22 in the front right-hand corner. Brother James, pump's messed up. Pump's all messed up. I went in Flying J and told them. They ain't been able to fix it. But if you'll take it out and you'll put the handle in your gas tank and pull the trigger, it gives you gas. and it don't register none of it. Well, don't all get in your car now and let's all go. But I said, ma'am, I said, it's slow and it's literally, Brother John, you could watch, you could fill a cup up with it. It'd take a while, but you can just stand there and watch the steady flow. She said, sir, there's nothing we can do about it a little bit. She said, it's a glitch in the system. She said, whenever it becomes a big thing and it, you know, it affects the bottom dollar and they really see something happening, then they'll change it. She said, but as far as I'm concerned, she said, just go out there and sit and drink your coffee and fill up. Well, I felt like a thief till she made it. She said, it's okay. I spent enough in taxes that I really wasn't worried about that little bit. I got extra. Brother Edward, I told her, I said, ma'am, you don't understand. I said, that pump is costing you. She said, it's not costing me. Hey, a whole lot of people don't realize what we're losing in church. We've got performance for preachers. See, look, we got preachers now that can preach and jump and holler, and some of them can perform, some of them hack. We got all kinds. When the last time you seen a preacher with a burden, a preacher with tears, a preacher that said, God said, I'm done. Brother John, I'm going to keep going back. I've tried to quit a bunch of times the last 8 years of pastoring, but I'm going to keep going back until I see God's hand. Somebody said, but preacher, Brother James, there's a storm coming out of that sea. There's never been a mariner that's ever set sail that somebody didn't go through a storm to put wind in his sails. Not Brother O'Neill this week, Brother John O'Neill. I preached best I know how, Brother John. And that old preacher sat on that front row and just cried every night. His wife died. He's all by himself. His mind's having some issues. He was frustrated. He looked at me and he said, enjoy it. Enjoy it while your wife's still here. Enjoy it while your body will still let you go. Enjoy it while you're still able to serve God. He said, because I'm just abiding my time. I'm done. I don't know what the Lord wanted me to tell Camden. Don't quit. But I think we ought to just take God up on His offer. There's a ministry in the Old Testament of pouring out. They poured in vessels, poured in oil. There's a ministry in pouring out. And I just believe that if we'd come down this altar every Sunday and every Wednesday and just start pouring on it, do it the second time, do it the third time, until the altars are soaked, that God's going to show up. And all those that stand, and you think you're all alone, 7,000 will stand up, and they'll stand with you. And then all of those that cussed you and cursed you and didn't believe in God, they'll say what they said. The Lord, He is God. This ain't got nothing to do with politics. This ain't got nothing to do with religion. But if you'll let God prove Himself, He don't have to, but He'll do it for you. I want Him to do it. I want Jonah and Jeb. Is everybody okay? And Ava. I want them to not have to tell Pawpaw Edwards stories. I want them to tell about when God did it down there with Daddy. And God did it over there with Mama. I refuse to settle. I'm done preaching.